The Beautiful Game, a podcast from the Compass Network.
Yeah, I couldn't believe when they killed Thor off in the first 10 minutes of the film. Where's this going to go?
Imagine if you did put that in, just saying that. And what would happen? Do you think anyone would hear it?
Probably
and,
not.
And secondly, would actually Disney give a shit? Because it's not right. You could get away with Loki dies, Jane dies. Kat Denning definitely dies.
Oh, she was hot in this one, though.
Was she?
Oh, yeah. Not happy to bask in the glory of qualifying for Brazil 2014, some numpty decided to call Roy Hodgson a racist last week. Meanwhile, everyone has been calling referee Anthony Taylor a complete and utter knob for not knowing the rules when it comes to goalkeepers bouncing the ball. And finally, Gus Poyet got Sunderland off to a good start in his first game in charge, losing to Swansea and reassuring all Sunderland fans that they will be in the Championship next season. Joining me this week is Dan Taylor, whilst Pete Gaskell is currently searching for a pub where he can watch Man United lose against Real Sociedad. If by chance United did beat Sociedad by the time this airs, I apologise to all Man United fans out there, but to be fair, your team are a bit shit now, aren't they?
Manager watch.
Ian Holloway has been confirmed as departing Crystal Palace. Dan, did we see this coming?
Well, yeah, I actually predicted this week that was my manager to watch. So I guess we're not watching him anymore because he's been effectively fired, which I think is probably more to the point. They're saying he stepped down, but what person in their right mind would give up their job, particularly when you've got an ego like Ian Holloway? Yeah, I definitely saw it coming. You know, they've had a few bad results on the trot, so I'm not surprised at all.
I saw an interview actually with Parrish earlier today where he was saying that they're just not playing the right kind of football and they want them to be playing a passing game and such. So I suppose the writing was on the wall right there.
Yeah, well, they're looking at Swansea's and the likes, you know, the ones that have been successful in the last few years, you know, do play the passing game, or at least they play it their own unique style. Palace don't have that. It's just, you know, hoof and go and see if you can snatch a goal. So yeah, they haven't really got a style, so I guess that's what they're wanting to kind of create for themselves. But whether that will actually happen or not with a new manager, I don't know, because who's out there? Pulis?
Well, yeah, I mean, I tweeted about it saying that he'd be probably the first name that popped to mind, but I know he's linked to the Middlesbrough job, isn't he, right now? But
yeah,
he's not going to introduce passing style football. No. But at the same time, if Palace want to stay up, he knows how to keep a team in the Premiership. You know, he's never, what was it, 7 seasons he managed for? 6 seasons? He didn't get relegated once. Palace are leaking goals, so I think Tony Pulis would sort that. The fans, I don't think, would appreciate the style of football, though. I do feel sorry for Pulis because he's got a right stigma attached to him now, hasn't he?
But it's the same for Sam Allardyce as well, isn't it? So that's just the style of football that they have, and some, you know, they do get some kind of success out of that.
Who would be your guess, your random prediction for the job?
I haven't really thought about it other than Tony Pulis. He just seems to be the one that automatically sticks out to me.
My outside bet would be Glenn Hoddle.
Game of the week.
Right, game of the week. Norwich versus Cardiff. Game of the week, Chelsea against Man City. I didn't realise this game was coming up, actually, until literally like 2 days ago. Sort of crept up, hasn't it? What were we thinking about Chelsea after they obviously painfully put four goals past Cardiff last week? Are you impressed with them?
Yeah, I said it would come together, didn't I, eventually, and it did seem to happen. Even Etu, despite that, you know, madness that happened between him and Marshall, you know, even he looked more settled, looked more like a Premier League striker, where he certainly looked like a striker who had experience. That goal was kind of international class.
Sorry, impartial here.
Yeah, and Hazard had an extremely good game. Oscar had a good game as well. Yeah, I'd say their weakest player was Luiz in that game.
I was about to ask you about him, actually. Well, how is he still playing? Cause I think the last three or four managers now in Chelsea, the commentators, pundits, they're all saying that this guy is a liability in central defence. I was convinced Mourinho would come and fix that straight up. Mm. Like, either sell him, because there was talk he was going to go to Barcelona or someone, wasn't there? Why are they still taking a gamble on him?
I don't know. Chelsea are one of those sides, actually, that really need a big centre-back at the moment, because Terry's losing his legs and Luiz is not interested in running off the ball at all. In fact, who did he score it? Jordan Much. He came, you know, he was coming towards him and he literally walked to his right and just completely, what it looked like, I think he expected Terry to catch up with much. That's kind of what I thought it looked like.
To me, it looked like a well-worked, hard-earned Cardiff City goal.
It was a good goal. He did take the goal very well, but it shouldn't have happened.
What's the priority for Chelsea right now? Is it Champions League? Or is it league?
I would say they will be aiming for the title. And out of those sides at the moment, you'd probably put them as the favourites, because I think they've got the longevity to carry on and keep their form going. But then, you know, you look at Arsenal at the moment, then they're just off to a flying start and they don't look like stopping anytime soon. But Chelsea have won the title within the last few years, which Arsenal don't have to their name.
One thing that struck me in the Cardiff game, the Chelsea-Cardiff game, was that Chelsea actually are a better counter-attacking team. Just because of that pace that's in the... You talk about your Hazards and your Oscars and Matters. It was terrifying. Like, the reason Cardiff lost so heavily, it wasn't because Chelsea were that good. Although, if you saw the score on the, you know, just on paper, you think Cardiff must have got battered. But it was more a case of, because Cardiff were trying to get a second goal or the winning goal, equaliser. Chelsea were just soaking it up and then just killed them on counter attack, which is interesting because a lot of the time, the top four, top five teams will attack the game. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think Mourinho is going to have more luck with this current team as it is, because it's not really his team, is it? Right now, he's inherited this squad. So I think maybe his best luck is joy in the Premiership is going to come from actually sitting back and just pick teams off. Obviously, Chelsea go into this having won every single game at home so far. They've won all four, whereas Man City have only won one of their four away games. How do Man City approach this game? It's a big game. I mean, if they lose it, they're going to be 4 points behind Chelsea, which doesn't sound like a lot, but Chelsea aren't going to drop a lot of points. So how does Pellegrini approach this? Does he play for 3 points or does he play for a point?
I think he'll want to get a win. Whether they are going to go into the game with enough confidence is another. They defensively haven't been fantastic this season. In fact, it's a common theme with a lot of the top four sides from last season, is defensively they've just not been as good.
You say Man United have been really bad, but Man City have conceded just as many goals away from home.
Yes, yeah.
And scored as many as well, in fact.
I don't think Kompany is going to make it back for the game either. So you lose your, you know, big central defender. So again, it lies down to their midfield. But right now, is their midfield better than Chelsea's midfield? Perhaps defensively, you know, you've got the likes of Yaya Toure, who's such a box-to-box player. But attacking, obviously, Chelsea will punish them if they get the chance, even without really a striker, even though Eto'o is looking better.
What are we predicting for your score on this one, Dan?
Probably going to go for a 2-1 Chelsea win.
Pete has gone 1-1. I've gone for a 2-0 Chelsea win.
Other top games.
Sunderland versus Newcastle United. Obviously the big derby up in the North East. Obviously, Daniel, this is probably your game of the week.
Yeah.
Sunderland, Gus Poyet's first game didn't exactly go to plan, did it?
No, but was it ever? I'm still not convinced he's the right appointment for that job. It didn't look like he'd breathed any life into that squad at all, which a new manager often does. You know, he'll revitalise those players. And just embarrassingly, two of those goals came from Sunderland players. So embarrassing for them. One of the goals was a penalty as well, so it's not even like Swansea were particularly good. It's just Sunderland were just fell apart defensively.
Why have they gone for Gus Poyet? Because they obviously want to stay in the league. They haven't made an appointment. They're not like Crystal Palace now, we're going to have to be thinking about being down. Sunderland are a Premiership club. Mm-hmm. They're going to want to retain that status. You know, I can't remember the last time they're in. It's been a number of years since they were down in the Championship. What has made them think, after the Di Canio debacle, what's made them think Gus Poyet is going to be the one to keep him up?
I honestly have no idea.
So what, Newcastle then, obviously, hell of a game against Liverpool. The best way I would describe Newcastle, Dan, and it struck me around halfway through that game, was that obviously, we saw it last season where they were awful. All season, apart from in Europe, they just didn't look like themselves. You know, they finished 16th. The year before, brilliant, finished 5th, yeah? I feel like this year, from watching them, I've watched most of their games, they seem to be a mixture. Like, imagine last season and the season before got together, had a baby, and I feel like this is the result now, is that you've got a team actually who are a lot better than when they were at their best last season, but they've still got those moments where they're just as bad. I mean, you look at the first half against Everton, or the Man City game, or the defeat to Hull. How would you rate that game on Saturday against Liverpool?
I think we were very good. I think we were the better side for most of it. I know we didn't hold much possession in the second half, but then, you know, you are down to 10 men. We deserved, really, to come out with all 3 points. But you did feel it was inevitable that they were going to equalise, but they didn't look like winning it either. So, you know, they were lucky, really, that bloody Yanga Mabwibwe, I can't pronounce his name still, was just so stupid, really. I don't even know what was going through his head, even if he thought he was offside. You can't take that chance, and it's a bit like comparing it to, you know, Marshall dropping the ball. Obviously he didn't, but what went through his mind, a player standing right next to him goes, oh, let's see if he tries to take the ball off me, you know, what if the chance, you know, and then it doesn't go your way. That can happen, and I think this is a similar situation. He thinks he's offside, so he tries to pull him back, and again, instead of punishing Suarez, he punishes the Newcastle player, and so he fully deserved to go off, in my opinion.
Let's talk about Yanga Bloody Biwa, or his bloody name is. Is he even Premiership quality, Dan?
Well, the fact that we're considering playing Williamson ahead of him, I think that kind of says it all, really.
Williamson, I think, actually has played superbly in his last two games. I'm his biggest critic, but...
Yeah. I think he gets a bit of undue stick because he at times he looks good, but at the same time he's not what we hoped. He's not looking like Sacco is at the moment for Liverpool, or... And I'm trying to make comparisons here from players that have been brought in from abroad, but you know, he doesn't look like that world class defender that ultimately we need, and we need it desperately now, because Coloschini looks like he's out for the considerable. Not only that, he doesn't look like he's interested in playing for the club anyway.
Coloschini wasn't any good last season either. You know, he's probably had one good Premiership season for the club. That was the season before last, I think pinning their hopes on him. Taylor's injured all the time.
I kind of would like to see Taylor regain his fitness and try and just stay fit, because when he is fit, he is really good for me. I don't know, maybe that's slightly biased, you know, a local lad playing for, you know, his club, but he gives such commitment. My score prediction for the game is 2-0 Newcastle.
I've gone for 2-1 to Newcastle. And Pete has gone for a 3-2 classic to the Toonami.
I can't see Sunderland scoring that many goals.
I don't know where he's got this from, because they've only scored 3 goals at home all season. This is why Pete's bottom of the score prediction league.
Goal of the week.
There were so many goals this weekend, actually, that really were top class. The Kabai goal was astonishing. Oscar, again, had a lovely goal. Etu, as I said earlier, you know.
All right, I'll lay off the
Chelsea ones, but I'm going to go for actually Kassam's wonder volley for Fulham against Palace.
Gone the same as me. Actually, I mean, their second goal was a brilliant volley as well. But that first strike was.
It came straight from right back. Boom! First time volley in the back of the net.
Team of the week.
Goalkeeper was actually really tough, because you almost want to put John Roddy because he was good, but unfortunately he still conceded 4 goals. God knows why Joe Hart's being picked above him at the moment for England number one. But I ended up going for Hugo Lloris in goal. I went for Nathaniel Clyne at right back, Southampton's Lovren and Swansea's Chico in the centre of defence. At that, Mekhi Tongan got pushed out to the left. In midfield, I went for Andros Townsend, Aaron Ramsey, Johan Kabai, and Eden Hazard. Had picked Ozil in kind of an attacking midfielding role, and then Aguero as the striker to finish off the 11.
Score prediction league roundup.
You're now on 66 points, so you've gone from, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago, you were like 8 points behind. You're now 15 points clear. I'm sitting in second place on 51 points, and Pete's in last. He would have been on 46 points, but he's actually on 49 because he got his bonus prediction right last week. I gave him the opportunity to get 3 extra points if he could guess what minute the earliest goal would be scored, and he went for the 7th minute, and then sure enough, in the last game of the weekend, Adrian Mariappa scored his goal for Palace, and I was heartbroken when I realised the time on it.
I wonder if he even knows yet.
Speed predictions.
Villa against Everton.
2-0 Everton.
Liverpool West Brom.
3-1 Liverpool.
Man United against Stoke.
1-1.
Norwich against Cardiff.
2-2.
Southampton versus Fulham.
Southampton 2, Fulham 1.
Swansea versus West Ham.
Swansea 1, West Ham 0.
And Tottenham versus Hull.
Spurs 2, Hull 0.
Pete has gone for Everton to beat Aston Villa 2-1. He's predicted Liverpool will beat West Brom 2-0. He's gone for his boys Man United to beat Stoke 1-0. It's quite funny that Pete, who has been ripping Stoke apart for the last 2 or 3 months, has now put his team to only beat them 1-0.
To be fair, Begovic has been very good. He was the third keeper I thought about putting in there.
So I make excuses for Man United's form. Pete's got a bloody come and lynch me once he listens to this podcast.
To be fair, we've not lynched Man United as much as we could have done. Have we covered their game?
He's gone for a 1-1 draw to Norwich and Cardiff. Southampton 2, Fulham 1. 2-0 win for Swansea against West Ham. And he's gone for a Tottenham 3, Hull 0 game on, I believe it's on Sunday. For my part, I've predicted a draw 1-1 between Everton and Villa. I've gone for a 2-1 Liverpool win against West Brom. Gone for Man United to put 2 past Stoke and win 2-0. Cardiff, I'm hoping, will win 1-0 at Norwich. If they don't, I'm going to probably actually cry this week. Gone for Southampton to win 1-0 against Fulham. Swansea and West Ham United, I think, will end 2-2. And I've gone for Tottenham 3, Hull 1. Right then, Dan. Mm-hmm. Your bonus point game. And this affects me, actually. So, to get an extra 3 points on the board and potentially stretch further ahead, of all those predictions, I'm going to let you double up on one.
Right.
So you get to pick which one you want to double up on.
So
obviously, if you get that score right, you'll get 6 points. Downside being, if I get it right, I get the points.
Okay. I wish I had faith in Newcastle to say they're going to win 2-0, but you never know. Let's go for the game of the week. Yeah, Chelsea 2, City 1.
Damn. I'm less confident of my score on that one.
Fantasy football.
JT Vaughan has gone into first place. He had a massive week, 75 points. Made worse when I compare mine to it. So he's taken first place off of Carl Bungay, who's down to second.
We did warn him as well that it goes down, doesn't it? Where's Steve now? Is he still bottom?
Yeah, we're going to get to Steve next.
Stephen Carl at bottom.
Dan, obviously, you moved up to third place. You're on 422 points now. You've knocked Pete out of top three. So that's probably the first time this top three has changed significantly for...
Yeah, again, a really strong week, mostly to do with Aaron Ramsey and Eden Hazard. So,
can I just point out that my wife is now, she's 23 points ahead of me. She had 62 points last week. I helped her with all her transfers when she played her wild card because things weren't going well for her. And I've pretty much given her like a dream team that I wish I could have.
Yeah, her wild card's better than yours.
Yeah.
Not only that, but you also transferred out Soldado.
Yeah, I know. I took Soldado out. This happened with someone else I took out as well. They scored the moment I took him out of the pissing team.
That's what I was worried about Van Persie, and now I know I was not worried at all because I took Van Persie out and put Giroud and Sturridge in, and then Remy, I think. So I got 3 players out of 1. So
the big news is that Steve Goodman has fallen to essentially bottom place. I don't know how this has possibly happened. Because I know Steve is around on the internet. he hasn't gone missing. He's now in 17th, which is our unofficial last place. He took 37 points last week. Tony Black, who used to be with us, is only 2 points better off in 16th. And that wraps up the fantasy.
To be fair, Steve does have Kevin Phillips up front.
I don't know why he would have done that.
The Beautiful Game, a podcast from the Compass Network.